Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Good friend, outstanding writer, reporter, John Sauber, Center Daily Times. John, how have you been?
I'm doing well, Steve. As an Eagles fan, this weekend has been nerve-wracking.
This is the way it is for all of you. I mean, yeah. this poor guy I'm working with, right? You want to know why his weight's way down? Because of all the pacing he does.
Listen, I don't pace. I just turn into a deranged person when I'm watching the Eagles. I always tell everyone, like, listen, if people want me to watch games with them and stuff, I was like, I got to be in my basement by myself. Like, my wife and dog aren't around me. I'm alone because that's the only person I want to see me act that way.
Matt? Go ahead.
I concur, John. I feel your pain.
Yeah, it's just too much to watch with other people. It's overwhelming emotionally.
It can be. Yeah, absolutely. This Sunday's no different.
Yeah, this Sunday I will be locked in my basement like always. Right after Penn State plays Michigan, too, so I'll be rushing home.
There you go. Perfect. So let's get to this, then we'll get back to the emotional problems the two of you have. John, let's face it, the assessment that Micah gave to Dick and me in the postgame show was exactly the same as he gave to the media in the media room. It was blunt and to the point. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I tend to agree with a lot of Micah's basketball philosophy. And, you know, I get where he's coming from, right, that they need someone to step up. But to me, like, listen, sometimes you're going to make four threes and you're just not going to win those games, right? And I think that might seem like oversimplification, but at the end of the day, like, that's a major reason why they lost that game, right? Like, I know it looks like, because it was a 20-point loss, but realistically it was closer to like 10 or 12 before the starters came off the court. And then if you're talking, you know, they make the normal amount of threes, then it's a, you know, very, very close game. And so I think sometimes you just go cooled, right, and shots aren't falling, and it's easy for especially fans to, like, fall into the, like, you know, doom and gloom with every game. But this is a 30-plus game season. You know, it's I even tweeted about this, that there's a lot of consternation about that Rutgers loss. I'm going to be honest. I don't know of many people that thought they were going into Rutgers and winning. Jersey Mike's Arena, I still call it the Rack all the time, but it's
so
one of the toughest places to play in the country.
I mean, I still call it that till they give me a Jersey Mike's sub, and I go, hey, yeah, Jersey
That's
Mike's
right.
Arena. I'm like, oh, yeah, I do that. Your point about the threes. Penn State was 3 of 13 in the first half in threes, and Dick Girardi and I looked at each other and said, well, it can't get worse in the second half. And it was 1 of 13. Because one of the keys, you know, we throw out keys to the game before every game. Look, we got to kill time to get to the tip-off, John. Okay. So, and I said one of the keys will be Penn State's ability to have more threes than turnovers. Which, by the way, if you look at Penn State stats, they have made more threes than they've had turnovers this year, which is a remarkable statistic. Well, they had 7 turnovers in the game on Tuesday night, and they only made 4 threes. You hit 4 more, now it becomes a game like you're talking about, especially if you think it's a 12-point game. Guess what? You make 4 more and get to 8, as opposed to the 7 turnovers, it's a tie.
Yep. It is... You know, I see people, like, complain about this style of play, too, right? Like, that they're shooting too many threes, that they need to go to something else. Quite frankly, like, this is the offense, right? Like, I don't know what the alternative is with this group of players in particular. They don't have a big, like, those post-ups are generally inefficient anyways. That's why I think even when, you know, Micah Shrewsbury has a big, you won't see him using them that way, right? I think he probably wants a more athletic rim runner type that, you know, maybe you put them in the pick and roll and they're catching lobs from a lead guard. Those mid-range shots, like, they're less efficient than threes, so you may as well be taking the threes because they were open. That's the other thing about this. Like, there were a lot of threes they missed that I was like, oh, man, they hit those shots like 8 out of 10 times, and suddenly they're missing like what felt like 14, 15 in a row. And so, like, the alternative to me is just keep shooting, right? Because eventually you're going to shoot yourself out
Agreed.
Of it. And, like, we've seen that with Andrew Funk and Miles Dredd. They've done it this year, and, you know, sometimes you're going to go cold, and sometimes you're going to heat up, and But that's the nature of college basketball, right? It's an up and down season. I you know, texted some people after the game that no one's going to remember this loss in a month, anyways, right? Like, people will be focused on other things. So yeah, I know some people wanted to make this doom and gloom, but to me, this is just like another, you know, it's a tick in the loss column, and you move on. I don't think it's really indicative of anything for the program the rest of the way.
I think if there's an area defensively, and I'm going to ask him about this on the talk show tonight, so we'll find out if this. If what I'm about to say has any validity or not. I may get one of those. No, you're wrong. All right, which is fine. That's why I ask questions. But I'll
right.
give this. I think that as much as we could talk about post defense, and that certainly is something that in this league you have to have, I think you have to make the post entry pass more difficult. And I think that's going to be part of what I think he's going to talk about. In other words, I'm on the wing. Don't make it easy for them to enter from the wing, right? You've got to be tougher out there, and I think that might be part of what he's talking about.
Yeah, I think that point of attack defense is so big, especially with, you know, you mentioned the post defense. It's not just that. It's that when other teams get to the rim, they can finish pretty easily, right, because Penn State doesn't have a rim protector back there. So they need to be better at the point of attack and not letting guys get by them first and foremost. And I think you're right. Like, those post entries are a little bit too easy sometimes. I think they could front the post a little more and then help on the backside if they try to go over the top. I think, you know what I mean, they can sag off guys that aren't good shooters and then try and, you know, disrupt the pass when they try and get in the post. You know, I think, and I think this is largely what Michael was talking about after the game against Rutgers, but like, the lack of people stepping up, to me, that was more defensive than offensive, right? Like, that was guys being a little lackadaisical. Maybe that post entry is a little too easy. Maybe you're getting beat off the dribble a little too easily, you know, kind of expecting to have a big behind you. And like, well, this team doesn't, right? So you have to be really staunch at the point of attack, and they were not against Rutgers. And I think more often than not, that's the main issue defensively. I don't think rim protection when it comes to post-ups has been as much of an issue this season, unless you're facing Hunter Dickinson and Zach Edey, in which case, like, yeah, no one's recruiting to defend those guys because they're two guys that come around once in a generation, right? Like, guys like that just don't, you know, stroll through college basketball every day of the week. But I think that they need to be better about preventing the ball from getting there in the first place. And, you know, once it is there, maybe bring a double down from the wing. Just get the ball out of there, get it rotating, put the offense in a situation they don't want to be in.
Well, to be honest with you, Penn State is playing like the vast majority of the country plays the game.
Yep.
Just so everyone understands, the Big Ten is an absolute outlier when it comes to having Edey, Dickinson, Trace Jackson Davis, Derek Walker, Stephen Crowell. They're an outlier. And that's why and to be honest with you, people wonder why the Big Ten struggles in the NCAA tournament, because they play this style of basketball and the rest of the country does not, and the rest of the country is not officiated the way the Big Ten is.
Yeah, and that officiating, I know, has been a point of contention. I've said it, and, you know, I've been covering the Big Ten now. So I've been covering this program. This is my fourth season covering Penn State, and I covered Indiana basketball for a year. And I've seen Big Ten officiating for a while, right? Like, I know how it goes. Sometimes things get called for long stretches, and then they stop getting called in the second half. Or they don't get called in the first half, and then suddenly they're getting called in the second half. And so I think you're right that it's not officiated how other conferences are. But that play style point, I think, is the more pertinent one, because this is a team that, and I still expect them to make the Big Ten tournament, right, or the NCAA tournament, excuse me. And when they do, I think they're going to match up well with opponents, right? Like, there are not going to be many teams in the country that want to face one of the best guards in the country surrounded by four shooters who can, by the way, post up and not necessarily back you down to score, but back you down to get someone to collapse down onto them, and then the ball's on the perimeter and it's moving, and somebody somewhere is getting an open three. So I think they are built to succeed in the postseason more than they are in the regular season, and this is kind of just, you know, getting through that gauntlet of the Big Ten, surviving, getting to the tournament, and then probably outperforming whatever seed they get.
Yeah, and I think that is a possibility, but one of the keys will be Sunday, John, because at minimum, you've got to keep playing 500 weeks. You can't have 0-2 weeks. And I think that's what, you know, and then next week you got to go to Purdue and then you have to go to Nebraska. Next week's the double road trip week. That's why I think Sunday will be another critical game. And Michigan's got Purdue tonight.
Yep. And that is, you know, they are going to be, or Hunter Dickinson is going to be probably a little tired after tonight, right? And maybe a little worn down version of him on Sunday. And it's a noon tip, which is always weird too, because frankly, guys aren't used to playing at that time. I know I'm not used to covering games at that time. That's a very early morning for me. I'm very much a sleep in until 11 a.m. kind of guy. But, you know, it's going to be a game that they need to put Dickinson in situations where they can take advantage of him rather than him being able to take advantage of them. And I mean, especially with Evan Mahaffey, right? They did this a little bit when they played at Michigan. They made him a primary ball handler like he was in high school, and they used him as a screener and the ball handler in the pick and roll, and it kind of put Dickinson in uncomfortable spots. He was trying to come up to the level of the screen. That wasn't working. He would sag back in a drop coverage, and that wasn't working because they would just get the ball to whoever, you know, was involved in the pick and roll with Mahaffey because they were good shooters. So They compromised him in that way. I just didn't see them do it enough. I think they'll be able to do that on Sunday. But you're right. They need to win this game because, I'm not going to lie, they're probably not going to win at Purdue. Nebraska, though, to me, is the one that I've circled. That one in Minnesota are the ones where if you're looking to make up the home loss, which Purdue was because of the game with Bustra, it's got to be one of those two games. And if you can get both, even better. But I think it's got to be one of those two.
No question. The other part, too, is I feel it. When a big man, so in this case it'll be Dickinson, then Wednesday night it'll be Edie, you've got to make them move and run a little bit more on defense.
Yep.
You can't just let them hang back there. You need to have them moving and wear them out on that end of the floor. If they're going to play man-to-man, I'm out here. Come on out. And, you know, and that's, I think you have to do part of that. That's part of the wearing down process.
Yeah, and I think that could lead to some of those five-guard lineups, right, where maybe it's Pickett, Lee, Dredd, Funk, and Winner, and then you don't have anyone that you can kind of hide Edie on, and he's stuck actually defending on the perimeter. And listen, for as big as he is, for as big as Hunter Dickinson is, they don't move their feet well. And so if you can blow by those guys, they're not going to recover and block those shots as easily. Even involving someone like Kanye Clary, maybe instead of Cam Winner, with Clary's speed, he's going to beat those guys with his first step 9 times out of 10. It is funny that to me that they face Michigan and Purdue back-to-back after already facing Michigan and Purdue back-to-back. So at least they're getting it out of the way in chunks and don't have to face these enormous centers throughout the season. I think this is you nailed it. They've got to make those guys move. They've got to make those guys use their feet, and they got to try and make them stay in front of the ball, and they don't do it well. So if you get by them, then you're golden because that rim protection is completely gone at that point.
All right, Matt. I'll let you and John talk for a moment about the Eagles.
Listen, I go through this every year with playoff games. Early in the week, I don't believe that the Eagles have any chance, right? And then it gets to, like, today and tomorrow and Saturday, and I very much turn into, like, the Go Birds guy who's like, yeah, there's no chance. They're going to win by 45. It's going to be amazing. So I'm fully prepared for the letdown now.
I mean, Trillo's kids, neither one can spell, but the older one can spell Eagles.
That's right. And next up is Go Birds.
Yes, exactly right. That's exactly right.
The other stuff he needs to like advance to the next grade can't do.
You're talking to a guy, John, that needed Motrin after the 0-2 championship game to Tampa.
I was 7 years old then to make everyone feel worse about themselves now. But I was 7 years old then. The first game I remember was the Eagles' first Super Bowl against the Patriots. The Rodney Harrison interception.
Yes.
The first I can remember as a 9-year-old. And I got to tell you, that's not a fun first football memory.
No, I'm right there with you. I was right around your age. I was in sixth grade when they lost that Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal.
But I like the Eagles this week. I'm going 26-21 Eagles.
I like it. I'm gonna go a little tighter. I'll say 27-23, but I think the offense is going to be able to score enough, especially with San Francisco kind of pinning their ears back along the defensive line. They're going to be able to run on them, and I'm going to enjoy my Sunday, or I'm going to hate it.
Basically the same way, yeah. But I was there last week, so I at least have that to ride with me regardless of what happens.
That's right. I went to the NLCS when Bryce Harper hit the game-winning home run.
There you go.
In the eighth inning. And I was going to go this Sunday and then saw Penn State Michigan was at noon. I was like, guess we're watching this one from home.
Well, I'll be thinking of you, John.
Yeah, I'll be thinking of you, too, in those what could be potentially very dark times at about 7:30.
Correct.
I just got back. What did I miss?
a quick therapy session.
You know what? I feel it's so good that a guy like me can bring you two together on the same show where and there's thousands of Eagle fans listening to this show right now that are feeling the same way you do.
It's very cathartic.
They hate my Switzerland approach.
Listen, one day we'll get a go birds out of you. That's all that matters.
Well, if there's a whole bunch in my backyard, I'm going to yell, "Go birds, get out of here."
We'll work on it, John. We'll work on it.
That's right.
Hey, John, always a pleasure. You do great work as always. You're one of the great guys that you'd be around to deal with. It's really cool. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you.